this mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness, here above the cares of life. There is hope in that rugged place where tears and sorrow dwell. Can you hear him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well?
Isaiah 61, we'll stand in just a moment, but before we stand to read the Bible, I would like for us to just be reminded as we look at our four steps growth process. And when we say a growth process, of course, the Bible is what feeds us to help us to grow, but we try to, in a simple way, when some new Christian comes in our church, or maybe someone that's been away from the Lord, or from, or maybe just any of us, we say, okay, what are some steps around here to grow? And we make it real simple. Step one, and by the way, when you go through discipleship, if you've been saved and you've been baptized and you join the church, we encourage you to come on Thursday night, and you can go through discipleship with one of our faithful Christians, maybe a staff member or one of our people or members that have been around here for a while, and they're walking with the Lord, and we give you a little bit more details. But first is loving God. And that's the greatest commandment, is to love God, and then love others, number two, and then serve God, and then serve others. And I want to talk this morning a little bit from God's Word about number two, and that's loving others, and then number four is serving others. And of course, our theme for the year, if you look at this banner up there, is loving the Lord, and thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And by the way, we don't apologize to challenge people to give everything to God. And it makes a few people feel uncomfortable. And we're not trying to make you feel uncomfortable, but we're trying to please the Lord. And this pulpit and the Sunday school classes and all that we do around here, we're ambassadors for God. We're representing God. And we don't try to make it so everybody just likes everything. We're trying to please the Lord, and that's first and foremost. Now, if we can make it palatable, if we can sort of, the Bible talks about adorning the doctrine of God, if we can do that without compromising, that's fine. But let's stand together, turn to Isaiah 61, we sort of sum up our four-step spiritual growth process from Jesus in his two great commandments: love God with everything, and then love your neighbors yourself. And then this morning's message is about that second great commandment, and in a little bit more of a practical way. Isaiah 61, this is actually a prophecy about Jesus, and also not only during his life, but a prophecy, and we won't go into too much of that, but also prophecy after he dies and raised from the dead, and of course his future and so forth. But look at Isaiah chapter 61, and then we're going to see this part of the scriptures fulfilled in the book of Luke. Isaiah 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And let me say this. God does make our life better. He came that we might have life and have it more abundant. Okay? But it's not all about us. And God makes it better so that we can better serve him. Okay? But there's a certain brand of Christianity, just all about us. It's not about us, it's about him. And so the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, not necessarily to make me feel good. Nothing wrong with feeling good. But you know some of the best, the special here, you know, God's good even in the valleys. You know, there's people that are dying today, and there's Christians, wonderful Christians, and they will die today. And maybe there is an illness, or maybe there is some accident. But the Spirit, let's look at verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This is just some of what Jesus did here on earth. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. By the way, in the secondary application here, many of our lives were ashes, and God made us beautiful. The oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Father, help us this morning as we just look at your word in regards to your second great commandment in loving others as ourselves, and then apply it in a real practical way on I Love My Church Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If you would, please turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. By the way, some say that Billy Sunday, when he preached, and he didn't stay much behind the pulpit, but he left his Bible open to Isaiah chapter 61. He'd have his message, but he'd leave his Bible open to that portion of Scripture. Luke chapter 4. In verse number 13, this is the place in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, where Isaiah 61 was fulfilled, and after Jesus' temptation with Satan, and of course he defeated Satan with God's word. And we look at verse 13, and when the devil had, Luke 4:13, and when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And unfortunately, that's how it works. Satan and his demons don't leave us forever. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and that's Isaiah. And actually, what we just read, that's where he opened the book of the prophet Isaiah to. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened unto him. In verse 21, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And he was saying that he was who God was speaking about in Isaiah 61. And that day, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the sight being recovered. Of course, a lot of that was more spiritual sight. There were blind people that received sight. Liberty was given. Every year at this time, around this time, we challenge our people. And let me say this. What we do is every year, and I love my church Sunday, if you remember, we give you a little card. We challenge you to make a commitment if you haven't already done so, or keep your commitment, or raise your commitment to keep giving to the work of God. Okay? Now, we don't just say give to the work of God to give to the work of God. We say give to the work of God because there's a purpose to give to the work of God. And much of that purpose is we as a church, number two there, are to do everything we can to love others. We fall short, but that is what we're committed to because Jesus said that's the second great commandment. And then number four, we are to do all we can to serve others. We want you to know a little bit about what you're investing in, okay? And I know we're giving it to God, but as a local church, what are we doing to fulfill God's will? And actually, the tithes and offerings that come into this church, what are they going for? We know that Jesus came to seek and to save those which were lost. We also know that Jesus came to love and serve others, as we can see in these portions of Scripture we just read. We likewise at Pacific Baptist Church are committed to obeying His word by loving and serving others. That is what all of our ministries at Pacific Baptist Church are all about. By the way, our adult Sunday school, okay, and we sometimes have to just repeat things just so everybody gets it. Our adult Sunday school is really the on-hands way that we can best serve the people of our church. And you get in adult Sunday school and we say, teacher, you are the shepherd and you have care group leaders and they're the under-shepherds to try to care for the needs of the people here at Pacific Baptist Church. And the more we grow, the more Sunday school classes we need. And as we grow, you need more ways to care for people. Or otherwise, they sort of fledgely come through and they don't get a personal touch that God would want them to have at our church. By the way, that's why we have, say, what are these tents around here? They're Sunday school classes. Ryan Raw lives right across the street. There's a Sunday school class in his backyard. That's John Castle's class. And John Castle does a wonderful job being a shepherd to care for those people. Okay? Brother Myers has the largest class. Brother Ray has the second largest class. And the truth of the matter is the larger the class gets, the harder it is to care for people. And we are here to do everything we can to serve and to love others. Our multiple ministries around here. And by the way, some of our new people, you don't even know what goes on around here because you haven't been here long enough. But every once in a while, we'll just share. We have Spanish ministry. Amen, Amano. Okay. We leave here, Spanish come in here. And the truth is, they don't use the patio and they don't use over there, but they pretty much fill up in here. You say, what are we doing? We're serving and loving others. We have, by the way, Spanish in Maywood also. We have Cambodian ministry. There's right now in the chapel, somebody is preaching either in the Khmer language or some English guy is speaking in the English language and somebody's translating. By the way, you say, why? Because we have a Cambodian community around here and they need the gospel and they need a church to teach and preach the word of God. We have a deaf ministry. How do you do that? Like this. Everybody go like this. What is that? Hi or amen? What is it? Oh, that's clapping. We just clap for them. Okay, we have a deaf ministry. In our deaf ministry, we have lady pastors. Teresa is the pastor. No, we don't. Okay, they're just interpreting because we could not find a man. Just kidding, sort of. Deaf ministry, you say, why? Because the deaf need the gospel. The deaf need, by the way, I've talked to some of our deaf leaders. I said, we need some of the material that we have. We have some DVDs, some good sermons that we need to be interpreted in a deaf, and so that we can give to the people. By those of us who speak English, we're spoiled spiritually. But we have a deaf ministry because we love and want to serve others. We have a Filipino ministry. Mabuhay. Trying to think of a word I knew. And you say, why? Because we have a large Filipino ministry around here, and the Filipino ministry is to help us to serve and to love others. Amen? We have a bus ministry. You say, some people say, what's the bus ministry? Is it just go pick up people? It's primarily to go into areas where a lot of moms and dads would not come to church. One reason is because they're hungover and they couldn't wake up. Another reason is their life is so complicated that they don't even know that they need God. And so we have bus workers that go in there on Saturdays, and my son was out Friday night with George Ospina out visiting, and they visit in these communities, and they tell boys and girls and teenagers and adults about Jesus, and they bring them to church on the bus. Why? Because we are loving and serving our community and serving people because Jesus asked us to. We have a bus ministry. Then we have a bus ministries going on right now. They go drop off their kids. They bring the bus back. Then we have second crew, B bus ministry. They go back. They come in. There's something. Listen, it is hard to keep this place clean. There is something always going on, man. I mean, Friday night, RU ministry. That's our addicted ministry. Okay, you say, what do we have an addictions ministry for? Because, by the way, many of us have had or do have today a brother or sister or cousin or uncle or father or nephew that's addicted. Okay, and by the way, now the biggest addiction is pornography. That's the biggest addiction. The biggest addiction in America, it's the black plague of Christianity. Not the black plague of the world, not the black plague of our community. It's the black plague of Christianity. And it always gets quiet when I talk about pornography because it's like, oh, right, is it really? And then the truth of the matter is there's been a lot of people that have been involved in pornography. But part of our addictions ministry is to help people to get over their addictions because we're serving others and loving others. Amen? We have a church planting ministry. Okay, what is that? God's commanded us to go to Judea and Samaria. Judea and Samaria is a little further out. Now, what we did for the first, 10 or 20 years, we just did like certain political parties do. They just throw money to it. Just throw money to it. Just throw money to it. Well, we did that for years, and that was okay because maybe that was all we could do. But, God has enabled us now to train men to go and start churches. And we can do that. And we're not proud about it. We just get to do it because God has enabled us. So we have a church planting ministry. What's planting a church? We go out. This church was planted 25 years ago. Brother Myers' family, my family, we came here and started this church. And then, so we have these churches. And now we have branches that are not quite, they're not constituted churches. They're still ministries of our church because they're sort of self-supporting, but they're not self-governing because we don't have a pastor for them yet. But in Maywood, it's sort of a branch. That's what the Separate Baptist, until they got a pastor for it, and it was self-propagating and self-governing and self-supporting, it was a branch of the home church. And now we have, in Rosemead, there's a building now where the Chinese people meet. They got their own building there. And that is a part of what, and that is, by the way, that is, until they, we get a pastor, that is still a part of Pacific Baptist Church. And I don't want it to be a part of Pacific Baptist Church because they need a pastor, and Maywood needs a pastor. But until, by the way, we're not going to just put some guy out there that, you know, thinks he wants to be the big shot. And then that thing explodes. We want to make sure we get the right pastor. And so, but we do that, okay? By the way, this second great command is interwoven in our people's lives. When we first come to Jesus, we're just selfish people. Everything's about me. But when Christ does something in our heart, he begins to take that selfishness out of our hearts. And by the way, only God can do that. You can't conjure up living for others. Because you do that, you know what? All you're doing is manipulating. So I'll live for someone else as long as he'll give me something. You know, some of our Chinese people, they said, whoa. They said, you guys are too nice. I said, what? Yeah, you guys are too nice. They said, we know anytime someone's nice, you're trying to get something. By the way, that's how it is when you're living in the flesh, but that's not how it is when the Spirit is living through you. Okay? We're genuinely trying to love people. Okay, and by the way, that's one reason it's good for us to go into poor areas. They're not giving much in the offering. And those kids aren't cleaning up. They're messing up around here. And if you see any graffiti in the bathroom, it's probably our bus teenagers. Say, well, Pastor, what if when we get in the new building, are we still going to reach bus kids? One day we might just turn the whole thing over just to baptize that church, that new building, and say, listen, we're not going to be the uppity church just because we have a nice building. Okay? And then we're going to have the staff clean up their mess. I'm going to take my sticker off. It's irritating me. This is another thing. You say, what is this? We're challenging people to go out on Tuesday nights. God saved you. Let's go out and help save somebody else. That's all that is. Okay? But we've tried to communicate this from God's word to our people, loving and serving others. Pastor Kingsbury, his church started the RU ministry. And he said, he was here once a few years ago, and he said, Pastor Esposito, he said, the hardest thing I've ever done in my life was when either his brother-in-law or sister-in-law had died, but both of them died. And they left their children. And everyone's like, who's going to take the kids? He said, and we took the kids. And they, I think, already had like 8. And then they got like 10 or 12. And he said, that was very hard for us. Joseph and Maria, Maria's sister died, and the father wasn't around a few years ago. And they talked to me. John and Samuel and Christina were left without a father and a mother. That's tough. By the way, Joseph and Maria, they have their own children. And they talked, and we talked about it, and they prayed, and they took in John and Samuel and Christina. Yes. By the way, that's not easy. It's hard enough to have my own kids. And these are not my children. You say, what is that? That's loving and serving others. Frank Lopez and Monica, I saw Frank walk in the hallway with a coffee in a coffee pot. I'm like, Doc, you know, really addicted. And I mean, this guy's like, and he just had to keep it full himself. There was no waitress around to keep it full. But they came to me a couple years ago, and the same thing happened. Monica's sister died. She was in her 30s, and the dad wasn't around. And by the way, you say, Pastor, what do you tell them? I tell them this. First thing I tell them is, you're not a bad person if you don't take those children. I don't discourage them from doing it. But I want them to understand that if they don't do it, they don't have to live in guilt. That is a personal personal decision. Okay, because you're not just saying, oh, we're going to have them for the summer. No, you're not some or nothing. You are committed to taking these children. Okay? And Frank and Monica, every Thursday night when we have the children's missionary offering, I give a bunch of candy to the kids. Everybody gets one candy. But there's one little girl. Her name is Melissa. And nobody, the little children, they don't know what I'm doing. When Melissa comes by, what's Melissa? I don't know, five? Is she five? Anybody know? Where's Monica? Five, is that right? Does that mean yes? Okay. She comes, and I grab a handful of candy. She gets a handful. And she, by the way, she can't wait. I watch her smile get bigger and bigger as she gets closer to the front of the line. And then she goes like, every time she goes like this, she sort of stretches, tries to make her hands bigger, and I'll fill up her hands. And she walks away with a big smile. And all the kids are going, wow, what's the pastor doing? She has no parents. By the way, I wish I can do more. But I just thought, you know, there's one thing the pastor can do. I can load her up with candy. And Monica and Frank have to take care of the rest that night. But Frank and Monica came to me and said, Pastor, what do you think? And I said, you know, that's your call. I said, it would be an admirable thing if you did it. Admirable. I said, they would be in a Christian home. And, of course, they would do what they can, and they have to get them in a Christian school, and they'd have a church. Because they were in church every once in a while, not very often. But Frank and Monica took Junior and Melissa in, and now they have a Christian family, and they have a church. They're in Christian school, and Melissa gets a lot of suckers every Thursday night. And that's what we're here for. And every time you give in this church, you give to missions. By the way, there's a missions. There's a little envelope. A lot of us give our. I got one right here. It says missions, okay? When you give to missions, you say, well, what are we giving to? You are loving and serving by helping lost people in Cambodia. That money goes, by the way, that money goes to the missionaries to help bring lost people to Christ. You're helping Muslim Cambodian people that are lost and deceived. We have ministries in the Muslim villages. By the way, our teams are in a 10:40 window, and other than Cambodia, if you fly into where our teams are, you're not going to have a bunch of Baptist missionaries showing you around. There aren't Baptist missionaries around there. There aren't Americans around there. I mean, it's 10:40 window is least evangelized parts of the world, and that's where we are. Every time you give to missions, you are loving and serving others by helping tribal people in the mountains of Thailand. And now God is beginning to bring some of those tribal Hmong. There's about 10 million Hmong in the world. China, Vietnam, Laos, and Thailand, and Burma. Now they're beginning to be attracted to our little Bible college there to be trained so they can go back to their country to bring the gospel. And so what's the point, Pastor? Just to let you know, it's like it's not just throw the money in the envelope. No, we're using the money to serve and to love others and to get the gospel around the world. And every time you give to missions, you're loving and serving others by helping communist Laotian people come to Christ. Okay, and I won't go back over all the stories, but thank God, God has opened the door for us to go into communist countries. And this week, John Ray, he's at Maywood. John Ray, he heard about it, and he's come here. He's a graduate of Brother Sexton's college, and he's here. He was called to Laos. years ago, and he's like, I don't know how to get there. But that's what we're doing. We're trying to get the gospel. We're trying to love others. And every time you get to missions, you're helping get the gospel to Judea and Samaria and the whole church planting thing. And then every time you put money in the tithe offering and the plate, you're investing in loving and serving others right here in our Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem. We're giving to reach lost people. We're not going to get comfortable here in Jerusalem. We want to do every, and by the way, we've already witnessed to everybody on the other side of Santa Fe. No, we haven't. If we have, there's still people that are going to go through the season of the soul that need Jesus. Brother Ron and I, we went door knocking on the other side, way in the corner by Willow and on the other side of Spring. And we knocked on doors, all Filipino people. And some young lady came to the door, and she had tattoos all over her, and she was the most open to the gospel. So would you like for me to show you from the Bible how you can be sure you're going to heaven when you die? She said, yes. And I gave her the gospel. I said, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And she said, yes. And so that's right here in Jerusalem. And that's what your giving is. It's by the way, there are probably about 250 people here yesterday and in Maywood going out, spreading the gospel, visiting bus routes, visiting adult Sunday schools, knocking on doors. Of course, in the fall, there'll be more. But what are we doing? We're your money, when you put money in that offering, it's buying tracks. It's paying for buses. It's we just got a Muslim track. Brother Joseph just put together, how many, Brother Joseph? How many? 2,500 tracks. And you say, oh, well, me and the Muslims, man, they're trying to blow us up. Hey, they need Jesus too. But listen, I got the flesh too, and every once in a while I slip in the flesh. But Jesus wants us to walk in the Spirit. Okay, there's no race lines, no denomination lines with Christ. There's no, I mean, we're not, oh, I don't like those people because, you know, they blew up our World Trade Center. Hey, they blew up the World Trade Center because they're deceived people. I talked to Maria just today. She said, Pastor, I talked to a lady. She full, what do you call that? Full what? Burka. Full burka. You know, I guess your eyes are okay. She said she was open, and she said, you're going to take her to lunch, right? You're going to pay? Good. And I see, by the way, John Castle said something the other day. He said, you know, Pastor, our soul-winning emphasis around here, he said, what it does, it helps all of us to be better soul winners. And if we're not going out as a church, he said, we're all, not that he's the expert, but I agree with him. He said, we're not as aggressive as we are if we're not going out together. It's exactly right. And there's been a little bit more of a soul-winning zeal in our church in the last few weeks because we've come a little bit off the job site, okay? Not that we're going to forsake it. We got to finish it. And John's aunt is right here saved. And John's dad is right over here saved that was putting the flashlight in my eyes a little bit ago. Why? Oh, Bob, raise your hand back there. Bob is saved. He's getting baptized today or tonight, okay? He's our neighbor. We have Cheeky's niece here. She was saved and baptized a couple weeks ago. I saw her this. I said hi to her. Where is she? Right over there. Just got saved and baptized. New Christians in our church say, what's the point, Pastor? That is what it's all about. I saw Brother Pineda's mother-in-law. Where? Right here, Sophia. Don't give up on your lost family members. It took her being on her deathbed in 3 or 4 code blues, 20 years, probably 20 years after your wife got saved, 20 years, and now she's a faithful member of our church. Okay? By the way, that's one reason you don't, and let me say this, we don't give up on people that go wayward. Right there. Oh, there you are. Orange pumpkin suits. We won't talk about that. You folks that know that. Mora, right here. Mora came to our church the first year we started the church. And he was a teenager, and he got away from God. And he ended up in prison. How long, Mora? 8 years. And one day he showed up right back there, By the way, when he went away from God, we didn't throw rocks at him. What is that? We love him. And 20 years later, he showed up on that patio. And now he's joined the church, faithfully attending all the soul-winning meetings. And guess what he did a couple weeks ago? He enrolled in Bible college. Amen. And his two little children are in our Christian school. Every time you put the tithe and offering plate, you're investing and loving and serving others right here in our Jerusalem. That's what it's about. Is Cynthia Bell here? I don't think Cynthia Bell is here. Is she here, Cynthia Bell? Cynthia, and I'm done. I got to go. Cynthia Bell came to our first service in Maywood, or Monterey Park. She was in her 30s. I know you're not supposed to say how old ladies are, but she's not here. And there's nobody here that would ever share anything I said that's not right. And she was diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. We thought we were going to lose her. She has 3 children in our church. And she was for a year fighting. Man, I'll never forget visiting her in her apartment. And just fighting for life. Fighting for life. And she wanted to talk to me, like, what am I going to do with my children? Of course, you know, when you're in that state, you say, when I die. Okay? We don't ever give up hope with God. Make a long story short, 150 pounds later, she lost about 150 pounds. She's now cancer-free. But one of the, and it's sort of difficult, one reason we need local churches, she lives far away. She lives even far from Monterey Park for a local church. But she did have, I think we go to the hospital. Do you ever go to the hospital like these people? They get nobody to visit them. And people that are going through health problems and marriage problems, they have no brothers and sisters in Christ. And then they have people, you know, a lot of people, they don't know how to deal with cancer. Oh, no, what do? We seek the Lord. Maybe we can help you with your diet. Get a couple second opinions. Don't let them just get, cut it all out. We'll see what happens. But the point is, we're a church, and we help each other. And so that's what you say, well, what's the message, Pastor? Well, number one, let me say, what are you doing to help other people? Let's all be involved with it. Oh, I got my own problems. I have a reason to believe that God is more motivated to help you with your problems if he knows you're going to help someone else with some problems. But if the end result is just so I can have more strength to be more narcissistic, I can't totally speak on behalf of God. I can just speak on behalf of his word, but I just don't believe God's word teaches, let it be given unto you, and it stops. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. And so let's ask the Lord to help us say, what can I do? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I can do. I know one thing you can do. You can vacuum the church. Okay, you can help somewhere. And then are you willing to give to the church? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.